Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country, 2 minutes at a time, for the biggest stories of the day, where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 Minute Drill on the program.
Welcome back into the program. Todd Lebo here. Seren Petro is off today. Big news today before we hit the road. Moving on, Curtis, you got some details on Patrick Mahomes' contract?
Adam Schefter says Mahomes' deal is 10-year extension worth $450 million. According to sources, the injury guarantee is $140 million. It does not contain language that ties its value to the percentage of the salary cap. It is the richest deal in sports history.
Not too bad for him. That's not too bad for Chris Domino in Atlanta as we hit the road for the drill. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. How you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing okay. Not as good as Patrick Mahomes and the Mahomes family. However far my migraines might be. Back of the day, we all said it was going to start with a four. I don't know who else will reach that number, but good Lord, 12 more years of Patrick Mahomes and as a football fan, I wish him and the Chiefs really good luck in keeping him upright and watching this guy do his stuff for the next 10 years plus.
Yeah, it's crazy. What an amazing contract, an amazing kickoff to a career. Sometimes you hit it right in the draft, and it hadn't happened very often for Kansas City. They finally got one right when they made the effort for it. Hey, let's talk about what's happening down in Atlanta. This is Chris Domino on the drill here. The baseball side, Braves' Freddie Freeman is having COVID symptoms, too. He's not only positive, he's having symptoms. What's the latest with the Braves and Freddie Freeman?
Brian Snicker said he spoke to him yesterday. He was feeling a little bit better. I can also kind of confirm that Friday not good, Saturday not good, a little bit better. Sunday seems to be what everybody's going to say on the record, and hopefully he goes arrow up from here on out with that. And his wife's social post basically said, hey, you know, we've kind of done the right thing. We're not out and about people. You know, we're not through the restaurants. We've been sort of hunkering down here. And, you know, so kind of eye-opening. And Nick Markakis today, who opted out, absolutely brought a Freddie Freeman's name a couple of times. He said when he spoke to him, it was very eye-opening to hear the way that Freddie sounded, to hear Freddie describe what he found through for the last few days. And if Nick was close to the fence, if not sitting on it, I think the Freddie Freeman part of this absolutely pushed him to the point where he decided he was not going to be playing in 2020.
The testing hasn't gone particularly smoothly around the league. The Royals haven't had troubles here in Kansas City, but we've had a lot of teams that didn't have the results back. Yeah. What's been the process in Atlanta for them?
Well, so far so good. I can also tell you that one of the other things is, you know, if people who are supposed to be administering tests don't show up, and that's happened, I guess, in at least two places, if not confirmed, certainly it's been whispered about, that's not having your issue together. And, you know, the easiest part was supposed to be, let's just make sure that we have something in place that these guys know what the routine is going to be every day, and they know what days are going to get tested, they know what groups are going to come in, we're going to avoid whatever it is we have to avoid, these are all rules. But if you can't get tests done or tests don't come back in time, you know, whether the NBA learns, whether the NFL learns, whether the MLS learns, anybody else learns from this, you can't have things like this. You know, we were joking, and it wasn't funny, it was just the concept that everything the Major League Baseball players and owners did seemed to be played out in the middle of the street. You know, you were fighting in front of the kids right there on the front lawn, letting the whole neighborhood know that you were fighting in front of your kids. Well, it kind of continues. The idea that this has become, and not that it's not supposed to be public, this is certainly supposed to hold people accountable. Maybe you do that by being public. But the fact that they didn't have the protocols in line for, why is a guy taking a second test before his first test has come back, has it positive or negative? That's the type of stuff that will get them to shut down a day when they don't have a lot of days to try to get ready for July 23rd and July 24th. It's embarrassing. Look, it's really what it is. I'm not telling you the numbers are going to be good, the results are going to be good. It's not going to be less people opting out. It's going to be more people opting out. Mike Trout said he's been on text messages and he doesn't want to say who the names are. But that lets me know that we know who the names are in terms of stature. When guys say that, and Buck Posey said what he said this weekend, some guys have two boxes they have to check. Some guys have five. Some guys have eight, whether it's unborn, a baby coming, what's your family situation? You know, what's the money? Is it worth it? Do you want to help the owners? Whatever the amount of boxes you need to get checked, this is one of those boxes where you look around and go, I don't think they'd be handling their stuff right out of the gate the right way, it's hard to check that box when you feel that way.
Yeah, it's the more money you have, the less reason you have to play. You know, if you've already got the money, you don't really need to play. One more quick one for you here, Chris. I know this is a much bigger subject, but we were just talking about the Redskins and the possibility of changing the name of the franchise. And we've heard this thing pop up here and there, obviously, with the Indians, the Braves, the Chiefs here. What sort of things are happening down there with Atlanta with that? Anything?
Well, it seems like, so my analogy was, it's like planes on a runway. You know, you're taxiing. The Redskins got the first spot. And it seems the Indians, because they spoke to it the way they did, are slotted right behind them. And I believe my city and your city are going to be dealing with it. I don't know if the ownership wants to make anything official. I don't think you want to pull a Rob Manfred and say 100% of anything. I don't think it's ever smart to say 0% of anything. That's just not smart, because there really are not many things that are 100% and or 0%. But, yeah, we're lined up on the runway. I'd imagine at some point you're going to have to address it more than sort of, hey, this is what we're doing. We're floating a balloon. I think at some point my team here, my baseball team, and your football team there are going to have to speak to it. And, you know, you decide what you have to do. But I can tell you there's probably a think tank. I don't know if they're smart, responsible people, but there's going to be a bean counter in there that's going to talk about the financial effect. There's going to be another person in there who says, is it worth this to stay the course? And that person, I'm assuming, is in the room because you trust their judgment. But I, whether it's a group of 2, 4, 5, 8, there's going to be brain trust type meetings, because there's no way to believe that in your city, in my city, that there's not going to be, I don't want to use the word target, but it's going to be asked, and we'll find out how quickly you can get answers. I don't even know. Has your ownership group said anything preemptively about it yet?
No, they haven't. They've been kind of mum on the subject, but they're mum on almost anything. So, but I think you're right. They're further down the runway lineup for sure.
Yeah, they've got a plane that's got the KC tail on it. We've got one that's got the big A tail on it. And at some point, somebody's going to have to answer pretty officially about what it is they're going to do in terms of a task that they want to pay.
Yeah, that's for sure. Thanks a lot for your time, Chris Domino in Atlanta. Let's head on up to Cleveland now and our good friend Munch Bishop. Hello, Munch. How you doing today?
Todd, I am superb. I got grill duty here for the household and taking a little break here from flipping shish kebabs, burgers, and brats.
Oh, that sounds good. That's dinner time already. It's already 5 o'clock. We're not ready for dinner here yet.
And you and Jed are invited when you get off, okay?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, do you have any extra food for Patrick Mahomes? I'm not sure he can afford it. He's got a 10-year, $400 million deal.
Maybe he's going to take us out for a steak or something, huh?
Oh, he will be having steak for sure, no doubt about that. Hey, let's start real quickly with that name change stuff. We were just talking in Atlanta about the Braves. It's a real thing going on with the Indians in Cleveland. They already took Chief Wahoo mascot away and said they weren't going to use that a little while ago. What's the latest on that today?
Okay, well, number one, Chief Wahoo needed to go. It was an aberration. I'll be the first to tell you it. Sometimes people consider me to be a little left of center, okay? But the bottom line is, yeah, it was ridiculous. So, like, to me, the name Indians really offends no one. Does Redskins offend you? Yes. Does Indians? No. But it's a new world order. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. And the Indians, unbelievable. Great statement that they put out last week. I don't know if you saw that, but then Tito Francona came out and said, really, what's the big deal? We're still your team, you know, that kind of thing. I know it may be a big deal. You've been calling them Indians all your life, but is anybody following them now? And I don't know if you saw, but then today, Frankie Lindor came out and said, you know what, this is what we need to do to bring peace, love, and happiness to society. Let's do that, too. So will the name be changed? Yes. Will it be changed this year? No. It might not even be changed next year. I'm hearing maybe they'll wear uniforms from another era of the team, Cleveland. But guys, perhaps, which I would take in a second, even though since I'm an Ohio State homer, I would take that name. And then you have the proverbial contest to name the team. But this is real. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but on the Chicago Cubs schedule, they mentioned they play the Indians, and then there's a / Spiders. So I don't know if they're trying to get us to change our name to Spiders. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, you don't want to be the Cleveland Spiders. That was the worst team in the history of baseball, right? Nobody wants to be part of that. Hey,
I squish spiders, right? So I don't know about spiders.
How have things gone with the Indians, with the testing protocols and all that stuff, getting workouts in? Has it gone smoothly enough for them? Have they gotten their work in?
Yes, they have gotten their work in. Here's what's interesting. The only player so far, let's hope that's all there was, has been the Lando DeShields. I had a chance to speak to him Saturday, and he said, you know, just like I thought, and again, you don't want anyone to get it. But usually you're younger, finely tuned athlete, it's going to be a bad cold or a flu, and he said it wasn't even bad for him. So the bottom line is, the Lino said that he'd be there in a couple of days. It has been smooth. I'll tell you what hasn't been smooth, bro, is that me and you have simple instructions. Let the Indians know if you're bringing a camera out or something like that. Five cameras showed up today without prior permission, and they just couldn't let them in.
Yeah, you got to follow the protocols. If you're a Tier 3 individual, you better have your stuff in order because you're not getting in that ballpark. We're following those things here as well. What's new on the Browns front? I know they're kind of down from last year when everyone thought they were going to be the darling of the league, and then they've kind of taken on the enemy part. You think, first off, are we going to have training camp start, and we're going to have football?
I believe we will, but you know what, Todd, think about this. Maybe I'm being Pollyanna-ish, is that I do believe all these are going to happen, but who knows? You know, until a vaccine comes around. Bottom line of football is this, and I'll say it, fans partially to blame last year. How's that? They weren't going to go 14-2. They weren't going to go 13-3. Like I was called a hater for saying, I hope they go 9-7. It was 6-10. They got to come out hungry. They got to come out with an attitude. And I'll tell you this. And I don't know a lot, but I know people. And right from the get-go, I label David Njoku as a trick-bag punk, and he's showing it now. His only moments of fame, getting national press because he wants to be traded, just ship him out today. I'll drive him to the airport.
Sounds like it's a done deal right there. Munch Bishop is driving Uber to the airport to get the Browns out of town if they don't want to be there. Thanks, buddy. Hey, enjoy your dinner tonight, okay?
A real quick one for you.
Sure.
The Mahomes 10-year contract. I love the kid. However, is this going to be like those baseball contracts where we regret the last 4 or 5 years?
I don't think so. They can always cut these guys in football. It ain't like baseball. You know, they'll find a way to get rid of those things. And they could pay him for 100 years and no one would care because he had a trophy and a parade here. And it had been 50 years since that happened. So I don't think there's any bad deal for Chiefs fans.
And, brother, you're going to have a few more. By the way, if you see Kelsey, you know, he's a Cleveland Heights guy.
That's right.
He owes me some – he promised next time he came to Cleveland, he owes me some dance lessons. Make sure you tell him, okay?
I'll tell him, man. There's Munch Bishop in Cleveland. Thanks, buddy. Tulsa, Austin, Oklahoma City. Mark Rogers from the Sports Animal joins us now. How you doing, Mark?
Hello, Lebo. How's it going?
Oh, man, it's so great. We just have so many sports happening. I mean, come on. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
I bet. Great day in Kansas City.
It is. It's a great day for Patrick Mahomes and his family and everyone he ever knows in his life and his kids, because he's got – $400-some million coming his way, likely. Not too bad for a guy, as we were joking earlier, Cliff Kingsbury couldn't even get to a bowl game his junior year. So, but then Cliff Kingsbury gets to be a head coach in the NFL. So Patrick Mahomes got Cliff Kingsbury a bunch of money, too. That's pretty good.
That's right. It made him look good, I think. I mean, he's done well with Arizona in year one. Better than I thought.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely. Well, it's because he had little Kyler Murray down there playing for him. See, it's all connected. It all goes back somehow to Texas high school football. That's what anyone would tell you exactly how that works, right, Mark?
Well, it's certainly amazing. I remember when Pat Mahomes came in the game because Davis Webb got hurt in Stillwater. And he looked all right, I mean, in his first game. But, I mean, I'll tell you what, that was an amazing story.
Did he make you look $400 million all right? You're like, no one that night thought, oh, this is the guy.
No.
Hey, let's talk about what's going on down there. First, what's the latest? Has Mike Gundy offended anybody recently? Is he okay? He got a pay cut, right? And they switched his contract up. That's a big deal.
I think it is a big deal. No, he has been pretty quiet. We haven't really heard from him since a couple of days after the Chuba Hubbard tweet. And I think that's what he should be doing. I think probably not hear from him until there's real football to talk about in Stillwater. They took some money away from him. I think that was going to be inevitable anyway with the basically all of the pay cuts Division I coaches have taken or are going to take. They also reduced potential money on his buyout. And, you know, $1 million a year off the contract, that's pretty significant. That's more than any kind of a 8% or whatever that people have been asked to take so far. So, it looks to me like from the outside looking in on this that Mike Gundy is going to change some ways that he's had in Stillwater for about the past 8 to 10 years. And if that's the case, I think things have a chance to come back for OSU and things can go well there. If he's going to remain the same as he was, it's inevitable that his time in Stillwater will come to an end pretty quickly.
Do you think it's more likely that it will come to an end, or that he will adapt and overcome and be there for five more years?
Well, so far so good, and he's a bright guy. Most people would say that you don't change your stripes, especially at that age. But he's been a very good coach. I think he's got the ability to change and listen and do some things differently that he's been doing in Stillwater, and just become, more accessible to his players, more open-minded, all those kind of things. So I wouldn't rule it out. And I just think it's impossible to say right now, but I know this, is that for Gundy, the situation is, it looks a lot better than it did 2 or 3 weeks ago, because I think that, the cards are back in his, he's got his own hand to play. Before, I wasn't so sure.
Let's talk a little Sooners before we talk about the Thunder, who are going to be in this NBA deal, hopefully, if it comes back. Lincoln Riley, imagine this. He gets another commit for a big-time high school football player as a quarterback over the weekend. What do you guys know about this Caleb Williams?
Not much. He's the highest-rated recruit since Adrian Peterson. In today's age, when recruiting services get to, get to see these kids in person more and more, I think that rating is a little bit more accurate than maybe it was 10 or 12 years ago. But and they got a couple of defensive recruits, too. One
imagine
from Alabama,
that,
one
yeah.
From Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a bigger deal, Ebo. Is they gotta, if they can continue, I think as long as Lincoln's there, they keep having guys go number one in the draft, then they're going to be able to get an audience with the nation's top quarterback. But can they bring in enough defensive players to win a national championship? It's been 20 years since OU's done that. That's about the longest drought in the history of the program. So they need to fix that element of it.
Okay, and the NBA, some teams have had to shut down their facilities and things like that. The schedule is out. The Thunder are supposed to be playing the Celtics here on the 24th of July. Are we gonna? That's a scrimmage. The real games will start in August. Is this thing gonna happen or not?
I don't know. It's been really quiet this weekend, which is kind of good news. We haven't heard a lot of speculation on what happens with this or what happens with that, because I think they're gonna have clearly some adversity. And I think they're going to have to power through it rather than just shut it down at the first sign. I'm really not allowing myself to get too emotionally attached to anything NBA or baseball right now, because I'm afraid that it's not going to happen. Man, I got really locked into the golf this weekend. That was so good, just to see that Bryson DeChambeau and Matthew Wolf go at each other. And that's something I think we can look forward to. I don't think we're going to cancel golf tournaments anytime soon. But I'm really worried about the NBA. I think it's going to be problematic.
And just real quickly, it's a AAA affiliate in Oklahoma City. There's no minor league baseball. I mean, what kind of an effect is that in Bricktown to not have those games? Not necessarily just for the players, obviously, but just around the city, how many people go? Do people work in there? Is this kind of a downer that there's no games down there?
Yeah, I think so. It pales in comparison to the NBA, clearly, but I don't know. It's hard to say, really, because who knows how many more people or less people are going out because of the current situation. But I know people love going to the ballpark, and it's a great venue in Oklahoma City. So it's definitely tough. I don't know what the franchise is going to do going forward.
Yeah, I'm going to a wedding down there. My nephew's getting married in some sort of a barn down there south of Norman at the end of the month. Is it safe?
Is it safe? That's spectacular.
It looks really pretty. Is it safe for me to come to Oklahoma? Is it going to be okay down there?
Yes, you should be fine.
Okay,
you should be fine. There's plenty of social distancing down there by Riverwind. But yeah, you'll be impressed. That's you call that a barn? I don't know.
Is that an affront to Barnes?
Barn. Yeah, it's a nice place.
All right, Mark. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, see you, Todd.
Pete Fox from KLOS in Los Angeles up next here on The Drill around the country. Let's start with baseball. David Price, one of the biggest names to say they are opting out of baseball trying to return. Summer camp as it is right now. What are the ramifications of David Price saying no go?
Well, it's ultimately not terrible for the Dodgers. They have a fairly deep rotation. He was scheduled to be the third starter in the rotation behind Kershaw and Walker Buehler. And, he had kind of a dumpster fire of a year the last time we saw him pitch, I want to say. Seems like forever ago, but it wasn't like, he was coming in off of a Cy Young season or something. So I think Dodger fans were optimistic that his talent would, win out in the end and he would be kind of a steal in that deal. But ultimately, I don't think people are losing too much sleep over this because there's just so many question marks surrounding the everything involved with this season, the entirety of baseball. So even though the Dodgers may have been one of the favorites to win the World Series coming into this season, at this point, it's really a crapshoot. You know, a 60-game season is nothing. So the Dodgers have been notoriously marathoners and not sprinters. So I think that's probably a bigger story for the Dodger fans as to how this is all going to work out. With 60 games to try to win a World Series, as opposed to whether or not David Price was going to, you know, come into the rotation and save the day.
We're talking to Pete Fox in Los Angeles, and in a way, let's try to bring everything back to Patrick Mahomes and his new deal. You know, the Red Sox.
How much money did you guys have to cough up personally for that deal? I mean, did the entire economy of Kansas City shrink a little bit?
I think we'll see. He lives in Texas and Kansas City, so he's getting he'll spend that money everywhere. But, you know, David Price was a baseball contract that the Red Sox eventually regretted, right, and traded him, and they were paying a big chunk of this thing. I guess that's the difference between baseball and football. Baseball, David Price is going to get that money, and Patrick Mahomes, if something bad happens, he's no good, they'll find some way to cut him, and then they won't have to give him all the money, right?
Indeed, yeah. So, like I said, it felt like a bargain to them, a throw-in when they got him, along with Mookie Betts. Now, I think more people are really excited about what he's going to mean to the Dodgers potentially. But as far as David Price goes, he's really kind of on the downside of his career. And the Red Sox, I think, if had to do it all over again, would not do that deal. So the Dodgers were hoping to steal something there.
Okay, let's move on and talk a little bit about NBA. Everyone's been waiting for the Battle of Los Angeles with the Clippers and Lakers. Some people are getting a little bit scared that the NBA is not going to get back going. What is the temperature like in L.A. for returning to play and getting this tournament underway?
It feels like people are, confident that things will work out in spite of some people opting out. The Laker fans are just kind of, I guess, taking the high road and trying to be positive about this because they do feel like they've got a good shot, as do the Clipper fans. But there was a story today, I think it was Jalen Rose, who said that, look, the Clippers are extremely talented, but there's a little bit of chemistry issues there. So, it's kind of a question mark as to what they're really all about because we haven't seen a lot of that team's chemistry. Kawhi Leonard didn't play all that much. I mean, he played the majority of the games, but he wasn't like LeBron playing every single game before COVID hit and everything got shut down. So there were question marks back then, and those question marks with regard to the Clippers remain. The Lakers, obviously, when LeBron is leading the way, you have to feel pretty confident about their chances to make a run. At least the Vegas numbers would say that they're still the favorite to win it all. So it's going to be interesting. There's, again, so many question marks as to what's going to happen. It feels like, though, that I'm with David Stern saying that. David Stern.
Adam Silver.
Adam Silver, thank you. A little flashback there. Adam Silver saying that, by no means is this full steam ahead, but it does feel like they're in a position where they're not going to shut everything down if one or two guys get COVID. So they're kind of like, well, you're going to be on the DL for 2 weeks, and then we'll see what happens at that point. So that's kind of been the temperature of the team and the league, and everyone's keeping their fingers crossed that we will be able to start things up again and finish the season with a champion and so forth. The other question that's kind of floating around here is if the Lakers or the Clippers are to win the championship, will it be considered a tainted or asterisk style of championship, or will it be just like any other championship? Or could it potentially be more valuable because of the stoppage and all of the other complications and ramifications that went into winning that title?
If the Clippers win, they'll make the biggest banner you ever saw in your life and hang it, okay? That's how that's going to go. Because if you don't have them, it's going to be the biggest thing ever. One more real quick one. MLS has already got most of the teams are in Orlando already doing their testing, but Carlos Vela is not going to go. This obviously will hurt LAFC's chances, but it's understandable. He's got a wife, has a risky pregnancy.
Exactly, yeah. It's a similar situation to Mike Trout, although that pregnancy is not risky per se, but it is a pregnancy. So Mike Trout has had a bunch of apprehension about whether or not he should be playing because of that. So I guess anytime there is a family issue involved with a player not wanting to risk it, I think people get it. They don't hold it against him. So without a doubt, I mean, he's a stud on that team, and the fact that he's not going to be there will hurt them. But they're fairly well-rounded, and again, so many question marks and so many things that are going to be not normal. So it could go so many different ways. Losing him is obviously a big deal, but I don't think it's the end of the world for a fairly deep team.
Is that football stadium done?
It's a good question. It feels like it is. Some of the I don't know if they're official Rams employees or not, but there are people roaming around the stadium putting up YouTube videos of, you know, the latest developments and where the build is, the construction project. And it feels like it's ready, you know, but there's also a few question marks regarding how long it's going to be until it's completely done. But when you see the pictures in the video, it feels like it's ready for fans and a football game for sure.
I don't know if there'll be any fans. Can we call it the house that Philip Rivers built? No?
No, I think this one is all on the Rams owner.
It's a Kroenke house is what Kroenke it is, right?
Kroenke world, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the time. Pete Fox in L.A.
Local talk plus national headlines from the people who are there. The 2-Minute Drill on the program with Seren Petro on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a couple of end-of-the-hour answers. We begin with our Good Sense end-of-the-hour answer. He is 52 today. Who was the other player who came to the Chiefs in the Joe Montana trade? If I'm not mistaken, I heard you yell the name down as you walked down the hallway.
I knew this one. Yep. Without any hints.
He was a safety. He wore the number 41. The name?
Jed.
I don't think
David?
Merton Hanks.
It's not bad.
No.
David Whitmore.
Yeah. Of all of his fame.
DeWitt.
Is that what we called him?
We called him.
Yeah.
I think.
DeWitt.
And our Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Before changing their name to the Redskins, what was their team name?
I told you the answer.
You knew that one also.
I knew this while you asked that loud.
It's actually the Boston Braves.
Yeah.
They came into existence in 1932 as the Boston Braves. Changed the name to the Boston Redskins in 1933. Moved to Washington in 1937.
And there was already a Boston Braves baseball team at that time who moved to Milwaukee. And then on to Atlante.
Something.
Not sure that's the appropriate pronunciation of Atlanta.
Milwaukee.
No, that one's fine, but Atlanta.
Atlante.
Hotlanta?
This is normally Curtis's path, but with people taking on different roles, I'm going to do this.
I guess if you sit in that chair, you just...
Everything just goes crazy. It's haywire.
What do you think about when we talked with Jerry Brewer about the Red Tails? I kind of like that.
I don't care about anything. I mean, yeah, sure, name it whatever you want. Red Tails is cool.
I mean,
that was cool. The fighter pilots.
Yeah, the African American fighter pilots.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
You could keep the colors stay the same, and I think it's kind of neat. I like it.
You know, we've had a lot of name change things happening. And we talked in the office about this. You know, the Washington Bullets were the Bullets, and then they took Bullets out. I heard this the other day. I don't feel super strongly about a lot of things. We've talked about this. I'm not going to scream at you about much, okay? So I'm listening to an FM radio station a couple weekends ago, and the song Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People comes on, okay? And if you're familiar with the song, which you will hum now, Curtis. You're not going to hum it, but you know the song.
I would, no. I may have heard it, but
you know
I don't
song.
Know about
he'll,
that name.
He'll play the thing here. You know the song. It's,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Very, very catchy.
You've probably never listened to the words of this song.
I have not.
Okay. Not a great theme.
I've only heard the first...
It's basically kind of a school shooting song.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, but it's got this happy little feel to it, and it says, you better run faster than my bullets.
Right.
Faster than my gun. So I was listening, and there were the version of the song playing on the radio scrambled the word bullet.
And
scrambled the word gun. And censorship, not I don't know what it is. I mean, for years, we can't say, you know, a lot of words on this radio station, right, because there are FCC rules. Saying the word bullet or gun is not an FCC rule. So, right, and Drake told me that this is just like this editorial decision for newspapers. There are many newspapers who I heard Sam say this today on the Border Patrol, who don't say, they call it the Washington football team.
Yeah,
they don't
Star for years in their pick segment that called them Washington.
The Washington Post has been doing that for years. That's their choice to do that. I don't know if it's kind of group think censorship. You know, it's not the government saying you can't do it. Mm-hmm. Like Foster the People doesn't. I mean, I think they wrote a little song, and Drake told me that they don't even play it anymore. It's like their most famous song. They don't play it because they didn't like what it turned out to be. That they've wrote it, so, you know, times change.
I mean, I'm not sure what they were expecting.
Right.
With those lyrics. I'm surprised people are mad at this.
Yeah, but I don't think they meant it like that. It was just like this thing, right? They weren't telling someone to go do something. We've seen court cases in rock and roll songs back in the day where someone killed themselves because they said they heard a message in a song, and they tried to reverse a Judas Priest song and said
Tipper Gore, the Parents Media Research Council.
PMRC. So those things have happened. That was a different kind of censorship. So I think the censorship that's happening now is what people will think of you, right?
Yeah.
If you say something or think something.
The term censorship picks up different meanings when it becomes an official thing.
But like that song is like, no
one
said you can't do
that. Not to say something.
And it's your decision not to say something or whatever. And a lot of times that can be good, but sometimes I don't know.
That's the superego.
It's the weird part of the whole thing. Because like I said, I just don't care that much about most of these things. I'm not offended by the Redskins, okay? I'm not offended by a lot of things. But then again, I am awakened to the point now where I understand that I'm not offended, and that's okay. I've had this discussion with people for years. If I say something or do something that hurt my wife's feelings, mm-hmm, just because I don't think her feelings should be hurt doesn't mean it was right. If her feelings were hurt,
right,
that's what I did, mm-hmm, okay? Whether I wanted to or I think that she's right or wrong to feel that way, it doesn't matter what I think. The reality is she feels this way. And that's the interesting thing about the Redskins, is that from polls done, not by the organization, but polls done by like the what you would call the left-leaning, quote-unquote, Washington Post, when they went out and took polls to Native Americans, the results came back, and they weren't offended or didn't want the Redskins to change the name. But where does that one land in the thing? These are very complicated issues.
And there's no question that the mindset that this country has adopted, and I think rightly so, over the last month or so, has changed that environment. I mean, it's people are more willing to do that now, and it's more out there, because I was reading an article in the Post today about how, you know, they go through this every 5 years or so or whatever. It comes up, people talk about it, and then the Redskins say maybe, and then people forget about it and they go on to the next thing. Well, that's clearly not going to happen now. There's now an appetite for this in America that we are changing.
It's about
time we did so. And so there's just so much more of a push for that. It's not falling off the front burner now.
There were, many colleges had changed their names over the years. There were a lot more. There's more colleges. So there's more teams to choose from. Many of them had, the St. John's Redmen, the Syracuse Orangemen, right? It's just the orange, right? And we've had lots of those change over the years. And listen, that's cool. I'm not going to stand there and say they shouldn't change their names. I'm just not. I think if that's the world changes, times change, people think differently. That's what it's supposed to happen in the world. You can't just think the way you thought 150 years ago or 20 years ago or heck, 8 months ago. I mean, you should be adapting and evolving and thinking about things other than yourself at this point. And if you're so tied up in the name of a football team, you need to probably check yourself.
That was where I was going to go. I mean, whether you think it should or shouldn't, if that's, who cares what it's been called? It's a football team or a baseball team or a school. When I said who cares, I mean if they change it, which I think they should in many of these cases, and you're angry about it because it's always been this or it's always been that, what the hell is wrong with you?
But I also see the part of the world where there you will ask, where does it end? And I see that.
I
don't know where it ends, but I know that it's like
it
here's
ends,
the thing.
It ends where society decides it ends.
Well, I mean, what the is society is the question.
Well,
then.
But
so
that's we're finding that out though.
Is the society a horde on Twitter, or is the society the government, or is society a group of people in the street? I don't know.
The overall will
anymore.
Of the people, and the one thing I've never liked about. The slippery slope argument. If we're going to do this, when does this happen? If we get this, are we going to do this? No, probably not, because the slippery slope argument suggests that we as a nation aren't smart enough to figure out where it stops.
Well, we're probably not.
And there are some issues where I think we're often not smart enough to figure things out. But as a general rule, we find out where the line is at any particular time, and that's where it is. So the idea that if we start changing team names, that suddenly we're going to change the Giants or something, or we're going to change some other name, is farcical to me. We'll figure out by what's the will of the people and what the populace says about any particular story, where the line is, it will draw it there. And if 5 years from now it changes.
I think
that's going to happen.
I do think the will of the people is a complicated answer now, because I don't know what the will of the people is precisely anymore, because what is the people? Is the people, you know, nameless faces people on Twitter? Or is it a group of people pulling a statue down somewhere? Is it people actually going and voting? I don't know what that is anymore. And that's become a very gray area on what a majority or a minority is, or who is or should be in control of a particular situation. It's as confusing now as it's ever been.
But if you just think, well, it's Twitter and then judge it by that, no, it probably isn't. But I think we are more than just Twitter. And if people would look around at more than just Twitter, people will get an idea of what people think.
Because,
I mean,
it's one thing, like, I think, change the Redskins. You know, like I said, it doesn't offend me or whatever. And I don't care if they change the Chiefs' name. It doesn't really matter to me either. But I think there would be a lot of Chiefs fans who said, well, hold on now. That's one thing about the Redskins. Now you're talking about my team, it may be different.
Yes.
And that's...
it was named after H. Roe Bartle.
Well,
you do have an arrowhead on the side of your head. The helmet and the place is called Arrowhead. So let's not the logo isn't H. Roe Bartle's face. It's an arrowhead.
Here's what will happen, and the reason that H. Roe Bartle was nicknamed Chief is because he was a chief in the tribe of Miccosay, which is a honor scouting organization that will probably be changed for sure. I mean, I'm a hard way warrior in the tribe of Miccosay myself. I went to scout camp for 5 years,
and did
all those things. And my son is as well, and my dad and my brother. And you know, there's great reverence to a lot of the thing is based on honor and family and, you know, a lot of the codes, which I don't know if they're true or not, that the Native American tribes of the area, you know, that's because it was what was told to me when I went through all that stuff. So that's why his name was Chief. So it was based in a quote-unquote Native American culture, but in a very respectful way. But if you go back and look at old programs the Chiefs had, or the fact that, and I think they're probably
their first logo.
They just spent a lot of money to put the big drum up there and beat the drum before the game. You know, there was a time about 10 years ago where the chop was not encouraged at Chiefs games. You know, they didn't play it, and some fans did it, and now they've just kind of reached back out and fully embraced it. So that's the quote-unquote appropriation that maybe people don't like. So I think the team name is just fine. They may just have to change some of the ways they go about doing what they do.
If
the group of people who wants you to change things comes and aims at you, which I don't know if they will or they won't. Don't know. Before we take a quick break, because Jed wants us to take a break, we have some breaking news out of MLS. MLS is back tournament. Sporting just went down there. Yesterday, today is Monday. Let's quickly play you a piece of sound from Peter Vermees this morning on a Zoom. Things have gone really well for them in the testing department.
We tested last night when we got in, somewhere around 6:30. The process was actually very quick, and I was expecting not to find out for all of our guys until later today. And prior to 8 a.m. this morning, we had all our tests back and everybody was negative. So it was process was really good. It was the results came back quickly, and you know, it's good that all through this time period since we started, since we started individual workouts, we've had nothing but negative tests, and hopefully we can keep that streak going.
Not the case for FC Dallas, Curtis.
No, according to Paul Tenorio and Sam Stascall of The Athletic, FC Dallas will not compete in the MLS's back tournament per multiple sources with knowledge of the decision. So,
yeah, they are the team that had a couple of positive tests or whatever, and then they got on the plane and went down there and had more and then more. So they're up to 14, I guess, in their traveling crew. So now they will not take part in that. I'm reading through the story. I don't know what will happen, because here's the thing. This isn't just a tournament. These games are supposed to count in the standings. So will their opponents get a forfeit? Will they get 3 points? I don't know what will happen there. That's probably an answer we don't have at this point. But so that's bad news out of MLS's back tournament. We've seen teams not practicing today in Major League Baseball. We've seen NBA places have to shut their facilities down before they head off to their tournament, to their bubble in Orlando. So this is some tenuous times for sports, for sure.
And now ESPN is also on this. They have also confirmed that the entire traveling party has been quarantined for 7 days following the positive test for 10 players and one coach last week.
So here's the deal. Sporting KC, stay away from the FC Dallas people. If you see them wandering the hotel bubble compound, stay away. Yeah. Don't go near them. The real news of the day is Patrick Mahomes got a 10-year, $400-some-million contract.
Good which the 10-year extension has now officially been announced by the team. Of course, the contract numbers are out there, but the Chiefs, it is official, as if there was any doubt, Patrick Mahomes' 10-year extension will be the Chief quarterback for the next 12 years.
And they gave all the details of everything in it.
Yes. Oh, yeah, everything's
in every it. Single deal is in that release from the Chiefs.
No.
The Program with Soren Petro.
What the hell are you doing, fat ass?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Is this song about money, Jed?
That's a Lil Wayne song, so yeah, I'm sure there is some sort of money reference in there.
Money.
Probably talks about doing, I don't know, ecstasy and being all messed up on lean, too.
Perhaps.
What?
All of those things. The money theme was a one-trick pony with Jed earlier. Patrick Mahomes, if you want to look, tell me what you guys think. The picture the Chiefs tweeted out of Mahomes and Veach standing socially distant near a large table with the Chiefs.
But without masks.
No masks, but they're far apart.
Yeah.
They're there. I don't know where this is.
I don't either. Looks like the kitchen, perhaps, or a study. Because it's kind of an angle, like there's a nook there.
Those doors.
It looks like the nook of a very nice kitchen.
That is not Arrowhead Stadium.
No.
And I don't believe that is anywhere at the University of Kansas Health System practice facility.
It has red, white, and gold colored. There's like the curtain that's on the door that appears to go outside on the left. Those are Chiefs colors. But doesn't that not look like a kitchen in someone's?
Yeah, or a dining area.
Yeah, I mean the dining room. The nook.
The breakfast nook, yeah.
It's a big nook, because that's a big table nook. There. I'm going to find out where that was. I don't know where it is. I don't see any contract on the table. I just see, do you think they Venmo'd him? Venmo me, bro.
Pay two.
You know, I Venmo.
Yeah, you do.
I do Venmo.
I know. You can leave the note on there. Next 10 years of franchise.
It's your deal. Here's 10 years for you. Fun time for Patrick Mahomes. He really, you know, Curtis and I were just talking about the picture. I mean, he just got it all going on. Good-looking guy. He's got the look. He's got the clothes. He's got the dough. And his career has been just nearly perfect. He got to sit in Kansas City and had no responsibility for an entire year. And learn from a true professional with a wonderful mentor as a head coach.
I think,
and then he got to experience that pain that first year.
Yeah.
and then he got to win it all. And then during that painful year, he got to be the MVP.
If you just take the things that he has done, it's phenomenal. If you add to it the person he appears to be, by all accounts, I mean, he's on a shelf with very few others at this
point.
Yeah, and
he, you know, jumped up and got in front of the Black Lives Matter movement, yes, and helped spur some change in the National Football League.
He's looking around for boxes to check.
Who needs some help? Here I am. And he's getting people out registered to vote.
And he's 25.
Yeah. And he got Cliff Kingsbury all that money. I mean, what a deal. It's just awesome. We'll tell you what you need to know next.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, on this date of 1933, Babe Ruth hit the first All-Star Game home run. What Hall of Famer hit the next two? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.